You're listening to the Texas Standard.
Like the rest of the nation and the world, we continue to have in our thoughts those affected by Irma. And back in Texas, every effort being made to return to something closer to normalcy. More than 600,000 Houston area students going back to school, finally. But some at-risk kids especially hard hit. The Texas Tribune's Marissa Evans has been covering the troubled child welfare system. She joins us now. Marissa, welcome back.
Thank you.
Lives of a lot of kids have been disrupted by these storms. How has this affected foster kids in a different way?
Well, you know, when it comes to foster families, the hurricane, everyone got displaced. Doesn't matter if you had a foster child or not. But there's something particularly special about foster families and families receiving services through DFPS because they have vulnerable children, children who have dealt with, you know, abuse and neglect, very traumatic experiences. And with any natural disaster, everyone's bound to be a little traumatized, from losing their stuff to experiencing catastrophic winds and flooding. You know, right now it's a matter of getting the families the things that they need, but particularly when it comes to children, you know, making sure that this natural disaster doesn't exacerbate prior behavioral or mental health issues.
It's my understanding, according to the piece that you did for the Tribune, that caseworkers have sort of been fighting upstream. I mean, in some cases, literally trying to get out to meet up with some of these kids and their families. They just can't get through the water.
Exactly. I mean, it's actually even really crazy. When I talked to DFPS, they said that, you know, throughout the storm that they were operating, they had caseworkers who couldn't get to these families, but they were calling them. They were before, during, and after, trying to make sure they were sheltered or had a good shelter, and reconnecting with them once they were able to, as much as they could, when it came down to bringing them food, connecting them with services, you know, telling them how to get in touch with FEMA, all of that. And, you know, you have caseworkers who desperately want to actually make physical face-to-face contact with families and these kids, but, you know, some parts of the state are still underwater, unfortunately. So it's going to be a bit difficult to do that. But, you know, as the CPS commissioner said, you know, they've been really heroic with trying to still connect, make sure they're staying on top of families and everything. While some of their own caseworkers have lost their own homes and are also dealing with this disaster in their own way.
Am I correct in saying that CPS caseworkers are actually required to check in periodically with foster families just to make sure that that the kids are okay?
Yes. So that check-in is kind of a sense of, you know, are they settling in? Are they adjusting? You know, how is the family, like the parents, doing with having them in the home? You know, what issues are arising? You know, how can the agency connect them with services to better help the family? All of those types of things. So it's already been required. That was already being done, obviously, before the storm. But, you know, now that the storm has hit and the storm has passed and we're in that aftermath, now it's a matter of, okay, this storm has thrown a wrench into a lot of things for everybody. So how do we get everybody back on track if someone's been impacted?
You write that it wasn't easy to recruit enough foster families before Harvey. Now child welfare advocates say it could become even more difficult. How so and why?
Well, if you have a whole hundreds and hundreds of families that have been displaced, who have lost their homes, that could be a problem. And like I said before, everybody got impacted by the storm. Absolutely, 100%. But when it comes to foster families, you know, if you have all these potential families that were actually maybe interested in becoming a foster parent after everything that's happened in the last year, or interested in caring for a child that's actually in their family who's faced abuse and neglect, and you just lost your home, it's going to be really difficult to make a case with the state of, hey, I can take care of a kid, even though I just had my own home flooded out, even though I don't have a car and no way to get them to their doctor's appointments. It's going to be difficult to have this be at the forefront of everybody's mind when people are just trying to make sure they have the bare necessities, like a roof over their head, that they are talking to their insurance companies if they need to. So I think the biggest issue right now for child welfare advocates is looking long-term, not just at, you know, do these families have the diapers and the food that they need, but also, do they have the capacity to care for these kids? And we already have a foster care capacity problem. So I think advocates are kind of bracing for what could be happening in the next few months as recovery begins.
Marissa Evans of the Texas Tribune, thanks so much for taking a few minutes out to speak with us.
Thank you.